We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We got to consider that.
It's embarrassing, but we are who we are. We're not a very good team, but we're 3-1 somehow, and we got all the voters fooled, thinking we're pretty good.
Jaworski Lane at 275 pounds showed a heck of a lot of athletic ability.
All right, let's talk some college football, Jonathan. Week 6 in college football. I'm at my lowest point in a long time as a college football fan.
Yeah, let us know. Clue us in here.
Yeah, right. Kind of I'm sure you read that article in The Athletic earlier today that basically sounds like Wisconsin just kind of punted on recruiting for the last couple of years. Always good to hear
cool
that. It's funny because like none of it is really all that surprising. Like Paul Chryst, like his whole shtick is that he's like this normal guy. He fits in well in Wisconsin. You know, he could be your neighbor in down in Cudahy, you know, and you wouldn't know any different. And for a long time, I think that works. You know, it especially appeals to a lot of in-state kids, a lot of in-state families. But I don't think Chryst or Wisconsin was prepared for NIL whatsoever.
No.
And certainly not to the degree that some of the elite programs in the country were. And, you know, they were ready to roll this thing out. It's almost like they had been doing it already, you know, and as soon as it became legal, you know, they were ready to go. I think Wisconsin was maybe not caught off guard, but just a little bit behind as far as realizing what other programs were doing. And
right.
I think that hurt them on the recruiting trail. And, you know, the vibe, some of the quotes from that article in The Athletic, I was almost like, well, if these kids, if all they care about is making money and their Instagram, like we don't want them anyway. And it's like, well, you're not going to get any, because that's what every kid wants these days. You know, like you're not going to get anybody. You know, essentially it was kind of there was, I thought, a really good quote in the article, and I'm trying to dig it up quickly. Where was it? Go ahead. Well, I have the quote. I'll give you the quote and then you can go. So the quote is basically, but it's more of kissing these kids' tails and constantly being in front of them rather than letting them be kids and earning everything they've got all the time. Now, you're trying to earn them rather than them earning you. I actually thought that was a really good quote. I think that's a great way to put it. I think that's how a lot of people who love the old ways of college football think. And in a lot of ways, like in an ideal world, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. That's why a lot of people love college football. It's just not how it is anymore. And Wisconsin clearly just was not, you know, on the front end as far as adapting to that.
Yeah, the game is different now. And I think we're starting to see like coach burnout at a higher rate. Like, you know, this is a smaller example, but I think it's prescient. It's an important one. Matt Luke, former coach at Ole Miss, was the offensive line coach for Georgia this past year, walked away after a national title. And he's like, I'm tired of this. Like this is too much. And I think that you, by extension of not just having to recruit new kids onto your team, but having to, you know, hit the portal when guys are there, or, you know, vice versa, having to worry about, like, kind of like what that quote is saying, looking inward and constantly re-recruiting your players at all times, like that has to just be, you know, that's the extreme version of like burning the candle on both ends. Like that just, it sounds tough. And I feel like if you look back there was kind of a different tone to Paul Chryst's voice during Big Ten media days, where he almost alluded to his own firing. Like I think he's like, you know, someone asked him this question that kind of is like a pie in the sky, like a long time from now when you're also still the coach of Wisconsin. He's like, I don't know if I'm gonna be here. Like very bluntly. So I don't know if like he kind of knew that the writing was on the wall or what, but you know, it just goes to show that, you know, things can get sour pretty quickly. And in this era of NIL now, where Texas A&M can have the greatest recruiting class of all time because of how deep their pockets are, it makes everyone else have to be creative. And again, like, it's just really intense in college football right now to be able to maintain your own roster. You see it at Colorado State, tons of kids leaving midseason. Boise State, their quarterback walks away. So, I mean, I know I'm ranting, but you wanted to be deferential to the kids, and I think that the kids deserve to make money and all that good stuff. But like, I think you can also recognize the human element on the coaching side, where it's like that probably really sucks to deal with every day.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to the power structure being completely flipped, right? I mean, it used to be, you know, the kids, like, they have to earn their way to Alabama, and now it's like, you know, Alabama has to earn the attention of this five-star kid. Right. And, you know, the Athletic article, you know, mentioned even like little things like, you know, Wisconsin just being behind as far as like not having as much of a like graphic arts department, because you need to, you know, when these kids visit, you got to be ready to post and like, you know, get them, you know, get the right Instagram so that you can send to them so they can post it. And like things like that, they were just not up to speed on, which, you know, I think you could probably say 80% of the coaches around the country are guys who've been doing this for 30 or 40 years. Like, it's gotta be a pretty drastic change. Like, trying to explain to Paul Chryst why this is important, you can imagine how that meeting would go. So I do think that there's going to be a younger generation of coaches who have been brought up in this, and they're going to be just fine, and they're going to understand it, and they'll grow and change with the game. But I think you brought up a great point about coach burnout. We saw that, we've seen it in college basketball too. I mean, Roy Williams basically just threw up his hands at North Carolina, was like, all right, that's it. I mean, he was getting up there in age anyway, but a lot of people think he basically walked away because he felt like he had to recruit his own guys. Like, not only like, you know, year to year, but like week to week. It's like, hey,
yeah, you know,
this five-star recruit didn't get as many minutes as he wanted in a loss to Virginia Tech. He might just blow up and just decide to go somewhere else because there's
erased everything off his Instagram. All yeah, mentions right. of UNC exactly. are gone.
Right. And again, like, imagine trying to explain that to Roy Williams or, you know, Mac Brown and guys like that. You're just like, you can imagine how this would cause issues. So I don't know. In some ways, it almost feels like Paul Chryst, there's kind of a mutual acknowledgement that maybe he just wasn't the right fit for the future of the program and the future of college football. So in that way, I think, you know, maybe it's a good thing that they're moving in a different direction. But as I always say to you, you know, when we used to do the full length college football pod, there is a lot of downside that comes with firing a coach, especially a good coach. You know, there are yes. certain guys that obviously deserve it, but when you fire a successful coach, you know, you can't always do better. You can always do worse.
Yeah, that amen. So Chryst had done a really good job. But it did feel to me like this year, for the first time, I've been like following Wisconsin very closely since I started at RotoWire in 2014. So like, for the first time, it felt like there was no real positive momentum one way or the other within this program. And you know, it starts with the Wazoo game at home. And then, you lose to Ohio State in a fashion that you kind of have in years past, but it something felt worse about that one.
Yep.
And then to have Brett Bielema come in and win, I understand where that's yep. last straw. And I know, you know, I just left Madison just a little over a year ago. There's still pretty significant vitriol towards Brett Bielema, even still almost, you know, a decade after his departure from the program. So I mean, I think it was time. I think it's interesting that Jim Leonard had kind of been appointed as like this coach in waiting. Do you think that Wisconsin was right to hang their hat on that? I guess time will tell, but
hang their hat on Jim Leonard?
Yeah.
I think he's a hot enough name that they at least have to give him a shot. And he's also like 40 years old. So I think he kind of fits the mold of a departure from the type of coaches that they've had in the past. So yeah, I mean, the expectation was that if he didn't get a crack at this job, he was going to leave and get a head job somewhere else. I mean, he also turned down the Packers defensive coordinator job
right
recently. So it's like, so he might have gone to the there. NFL. So like, you know, I don't think this was like a, oh, he's one of our guys. We got to give him the first shot because of like nepotism. I think he deserves it. And I think that's probably part of the reason they made this call when they did, is because now you get a half season to evaluate Jim Leonard on the fly. And, you know, if they get this thing turned around and there's a notable difference in the program, I think that's going to go a long way toward helping him, you know, kind of secure this job long-term. But either way, I mean, unless the rest of the year is like a complete disaster, I think he's the heavy favorite to become the full-time head coach after the season. But anyway, enough Wisconsin talk. Let's get to college football betting for week six. The Kansas Jayhawks, John, 19th overall, Kansas TCU. Who would have thought? One of the premier games of the week.
Unbelievable. Kansas has been just so electric, and TCU has really made me eat my words so far. My job is unique, as you know, Nick. You know, on game day Saturdays, I'm watching like a hawk for injuries and things of that nature. Sonny Dykes did the cardinal sin in my book, where he said that Chandler Morris was going to be out, and then there's reports that this was against SMU a couple weeks ago, and then it's like, oh, he's in full uniform, he's warming up. It's like, I'm going to have an aneurysm right now. But he ended up not playing. It ended up being Max Duggan, and now Max Duggan has played well enough to where he is not giving up that job as long as he's healthy and performing at this level. I forget where I saw this, but you know, Duggan like expected to throw for like 300 yards this week against Kansas. So TCU is totally rolling. They just baptized Oklahoma, who's in serious trouble. I think that this Venables thing is not going to work out for them. I begrudgingly, as great of a Kansas story as Kansas has been, I like TCU to cover the touchdown on the road. I think it's going to be a really fun game, though. I think Kansas can win. I'm just not betting it. I think it's more likely that TCU just out-athletes them, and Kansas can only try to slow the game down so much. If you're going three and out with those slow drives, you're not going to get anywhere, and TCU can score in a second.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure can. I mean, this Kansas ride, I hope it continues. This has been really fun to see the ascent. I mean, Lance Leopold really reaching heights that we've only seen Mark Mangino reach in the past.
Yeah, but Lance Leopold has become like the new Matt Campbell. Like,
yeah,
any fan base of like a upper middle class program that kind of hates their coach, they're like, Leopold?
Well, Wisconsin's been on that list. I tell you what, it's probably Leipold. All right, let's go rapid fire through the rest of your favorite bets this week, and then we'll get on out of here.
All righty. So let's see. I like UCLA, and this probably means it's bad. Anytime I like UCLA, that's bad news. I do like them to cover 4 against Utah. I think that game is a field goal or you know, maybe an outright win for UCLA. A lot of Pac-12 flavor this week. I think Arizona State covers 13.5 at home against Washington. I think Washington maybe got a little bit overrated earlier this season. I think they're definitely better than I thought they were going to be, but trusting them with 2 touchdowns, I'm not there yet, not on the road. I like the under, unfortunately, in UTSA versus Western Kentucky. That's just too high. I hope I'm wrong on that one. I'd love to see like 90 points in that game, but that's just kind of how I see it. I like Iowa to beat Illinois outright. Illinois coming off that big win last week. Iowa, you know, maybe they just find a way. I know they just got outclassed by Michigan. I don't think Illinois can outclass them that same way. So they keep it close. And I would like to sprinkle a little bit on that money line. I think Oregon beats Arizona pretty, pretty badly again against Arizona. I think it's like a 13-point spread. I could see that being closer to like a 3-touchdown type of game. And then if you want to get weird with the Fun Belt, James Madison is incredible. I cannot believe how good they are. The fact that this is their first year in the FBS and they are doing what they're doing right now, nuts. So 10.5 against Arkansas State. Give me that all day. And then I will be in Athens this weekend, folks, on the site for Georgia, 30-point favorites against Auburn. If I had to pick that one, I would take Auburn to cover 30 points. That's just a lot of points.
That is a lot of points. That is plenty of points. And is this your first or second trip now back to Athens for this game?
For this season? This is my first trip back for a game. I like worked and then like went to a rehearsal dinner for the week one game that, against Oregon that was here in Atlanta, actually. But this is my one weekend or one Saturday off a season. I'm doing it big. A lot of good alumni are going to be in town for that Georgia Auburn matchup. And I'm very much looking forward to it and having a Saturday off.
Yeah. Well deserved, my friend, and enjoy it. I will be up in the North Woods of Wisconsin trying to sneak in one final round of golf before it starts getting way too cold for that in these parts. But looking forward to a fun Saturday of college football. Looking forward to another full day in the NFL as well. Thanks again to our sponsor, BetMGM. Again, make sure you're using that code BETROTO, BETROTO. Your first bet is risk-free when you use BetROTO on the BetMGM app or BetMGM.com.